Good morning. My name is Jeremy, and I have the opportunity to share with you today. Just wanted to clarify again, my name is Jeremy, because some people walk into the church, and they see my face, and they're like, hey, Nathan. So I do have a beard and everything, but I'm not Nathan. I am close friends with Nathan, and I have the opportunity to speak today. I want to say thank you again. Thank you for coming online. Thank you for tuning in. To those of you that have been coming repeatedly, we're just grateful to have you. For those of you that are new, welcome. And for those of you that are questioning this faith in Jesus, I especially want to say thank you. And I would just encourage you to stick it out and listen this through, because I believe that Jesus will speak to you today. Before I go further, I'm just going to pray and ask God's Spirit to just speak. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you that we have the opportunity of gathering. Thank you that you're here with us. I pray that as we gather in our homes around the city, that you would touch our hearts with your presence and with your peace. Lord, we're here listening. Do to us according to your word. I have a question for you. And that question is, if I were to ask you for a show of hands, is life easy? I'm guessing that only a very small portion of you would say that, or perhaps actually none of you. So maybe my question then would be, how many of you would find life difficult? I'm going to guess that the vast majority of us would raise our hands and be like, yes, life is difficult at times, it's confusing, and there's suffering in life. Life is difficult, and for some of us, difficult is too light of a word. Some of us actually suffer. To be honest with you, I see brokenness all around me. I see the small kid who has no future ahead of them, no bright future ahead of them. I see people homeless with no place to stay. I see addictions just depriving people of anything nice in their life. But suffering is definitely not limited to these people. Suffering hits all areas of life. It hits the rich and the poor. It hits the adult, the kid, the teenager. There's the uncertainty of the unknown. There's the couple who cannot get pregnant. There's a child who has a life-threatening accident. We live in a world where suffering is seemingly inescapable. As a matter of fact, the list is endless. And some of us are right now today living through very painful things. And how do we go on? What surety do we have that this could ever change? There are two main points that I wish to talk about today, and this should be on the slide. One, is it possible to hold a joy-filled life? And if this is possible, if this joy is possible, is it sustainable? Well, I'm excited to tell you that the text we're speaking from today is Romans 5, and it holds great promise and answers for some of these questions. But before I go on, I just want to say that there's no way today that I can give a complete answering on the problem of suffering. If you are struggling today, I empathize deeply with you. And I would just encourage you to send a message through on our YouTube chat, or if you want something more private, look us up on the website and send through a personal email so that we can lift your concern up to God with you. Also, please just reach out to someone else that you trust and tell them how you're doing. We are always stronger together. And my desire for you, if you are suffering today, is that the God of peace and hope would fill you with encouragement today as we look into his word. There is a reason to persevere and not give up the fight. Okay, let's jump in. I'm going to read Romans 5, 1 through 5. So if you have a Bible, I'm going to read what was already read during the worship. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, and we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And this is God's word. Okay, let's just jump directly into verses 3 and 4, just a little bit further down, where Paul hits suffering right on the head. He says this, I'll repeat it, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Problems and trials, that is suffering. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. This is convicting to me. Paul is saying that rather than being sucked under the weight of everything in life, we can rejoice, that is, have joy. These problems help us develop endurance, and endurance leads to a stronger character, and a stronger character to a more confident hope in God. But wait a minute, ask yourself, does suffering actually result in endurance for everyone? If that were true, would we not have people all around us who are full of endurance and character and filled with hope? I think it's possible that some of us turn in on ourselves and become victims of our problems. Is there possibly more to this that Paul is saying? I point this out because I believe that Paul's statements here in the book of Romans infer that you and I have choice. We can choose whether we let our suffering build endurance. It's your choice whether suffering builds endurance or whether it tears you apart. And I'm going to repeat that. It's your choice whether suffering builds endurance or whether it tears you apart. Now, am I saying that this makes suffering easy? No, I'm not. But I do believe we have choice with what we do with our suffering. So then, if this is the case, then is this verses from Romans like a self-help guide to a list of do's and don'ts so that we, like a self-help? For example, I need to rejoice, tick mark. Then I need to endure, tick mark. Then I need to get a better character, tick mark, and so on. You know, I think if we do that, we end up with a repressive list of do's and don'ts and a moral guide. And actually, instead of that building our faith up and our hope up, we end up depressed and confused, and rather than hopeful, hopeless. So maybe we need more than our own determination to stay positive or to stay full of joy in the middle of suffering. How do we get that help? Well, before I dive into how we get that help, I want to share a personal story that I experienced. It was, I think, probably 10 or 15 years ago now that I was on a bike hike with a bunch of young adults, and this was in New Brunswick on the East Coast there. We were doing like a 50K bike hike, and we had gone the 25K one way, and we're on our way back, and on the way back, a 21-year-old who was really healthy, really strong individual, he was biking along the shoulder of the road and veered into the ditch and crashed over. And a few of us stopped and like went down to him, and he was unresponsive. We pulled him out, put him up on the side of the road, and then an adult arrived on the scene that was with us, and apparently he wasn't breathing. The adult started CPR. We were all gathered around this friend of ours. It was my cousin. And we just started praying and crying out to God for him. The ambulance shows up, you know, within 20 minutes, and by this time he was turning blue, and they took him away. And so all of us were obviously really shaken up. We went back to home, and we gathered in a driveway to, like, just be together and to pray. And I just so vividly remember this next scene in my mind where my uncle and aunt had followed the ambulance to the hospital, and they drove back in. We saw them driving up the road. They came into the driveway, and again, I said, I vividly see this. My uncle opens the door to the car, gets out. His wife comes around the front, and as they walk across the driveway, the very first words out of my uncle's mouth were, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all I can tell you, in that moment and today, I don't know if I've ever seen a stronger testimony to someone in the middle of intense suffering. His son had died at the hospital. The first words out of his mouth are, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, when life is easy, it's easy to say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." But I just would say that my aunt and uncle, in that moment of deep pain, chose Jesus over complete despair. They had a hope in a God who cared about them and loved them and who gave them a hope in an eternity with Jesus, right? They trusted also that they would see their son in eternity. As I said, that story has impacted my life deeply. And I would just say for us, in our moment of suffering, what do we choose? Do we choose to despair and give up? Or do we choose to call on the name of Jesus and lay at his feet, basically, and say, "God, I need you. Thank you that you love me." Once we've chosen this, though, how do we arrive at the place of this not becoming, again, that self-help list of do's and don'ts? That all that weight on me to be like, I have to make the right decision when I'm suffering and just like this heaviness about it. How do we get that help? What gives us the strength to go on? It's at this point that I want to jump back into verses 1 and 2. They tell us something of the beauty of God, and they really set the stages of understanding these verses on suffering. So verses 1 and 2 in chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." So for those of us that have placed our trust in Jesus, we are made right. We have peace with God because of Jesus. And even more than that, Jesus allows us to look forward to sharing in God's glory. Now, I don't know about you, but I've given some thought to what it might mean to share in God's glory. And you can challenge me on this. You can search out the scriptures yourself. But I believe it could look something like this. At the end of our lives in eternity, we end up with Jesus in heaven, with something so spectacular, that if you and I could actually see that now and the end of pain and suffering at the end of time, that it would literally make you and I lose our breath now. Not like a so-so eternal existence where you're like, "Well, I hope that I'm satisfied with this." No, not at all. A rich and fulfilling eternity with a God who loves sinners like you and I. As an author put it, Sally Lloyd-Jones, I quote her, "God's love that is never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, and always and forever love. A God who so exceeds our idea of him and who is making a stunning mosaic out of every detail of our life, including the suffering." I repeat that again, including the suffering. "We, in utter amazement and adoration of him and his sacrifice for us, will forever find complete and unimaginable happiness in him." That, I believe, is only a part of the opportunity he gives us for eternity of sharing in his glory. Like, with these things in mind, can we press on to endure? Can we believe God that all these troubles that are in our lives now will result in something beautiful? Can we accept that and have joy? But again, that's not even all. Paul reminds us that hope placed in Jesus will never disappoint. If we look at verse 5 here, and this should be on the slide here, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. A hope in Jesus will never, ever disappoint. We won't persevere through all our trouble and get to the end and be like, oh no, this didn't work out the way that I thought. We will actually instead be overwhelmed with joy. To finish that verse 5 there, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So remember my question earlier about how do we have the strength to go on? One is we remember the amazing things that God has for us in store in eternity. Second, we know that this is never going to disappoint. And third, we have this verse here that's saying how dearly God loves us. He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That is how we have the strength to go on. Not on our own strength, but because the Holy Spirit is in us, helping us to endure. For each of us as believers, we have received the Holy Spirit. But I would dare all of us to ask the Holy Spirit to touch us even more deeply with his love. Lord, let me experience you more. He hears the deepest cry of our hearts. He loves to give us the Holy Spirit. So how do we sustain this lifestyle of joy? First of all, I want to qualify joy. Joy does not mean waking up every morning and feeling awesome about the day and being like, you know, everything's just amazing, like everything's lining up in a row and I don't feel any sadness, I don't feel anything like that. Joy is more being satisfied with Jesus. If you can wake up every morning and find your satisfaction in Jesus, I believe that will give you joy. Jesus never, ever changes. Life circumstances may change, but Jesus never changes. So one, for sustaining this lifestyle of joy, one, surrender through prayer. Spend time getting to know God through his word. And finally, find community. Talk to God. You know, just the way that you and I talk to one another, talk to God. Prayer is not something that's reserved for a church building or reserved for the dinner table. Prayer is just simply talking to God. You don't even have to use words to talk to God. Are you burdened and you have pain? Tell him. Let God, just be raw honest with God. God doesn't need good words. He doesn't need to hear church language. Just say anything to God. Allow your heart to be totally raw and honest before God. If you look at some of the older writings in Scripture in the Psalms, you'll find that the authors there just said it the way that it was. They weren't all polished up. They said it the way it was. Surrender it. Surrender that concern, that burden, that suffering that you have to God. Now, for many years, I thought I knew what surrender meant. I mean, surrender, if you look at the typical use of the word, it just means like handing it over, right? Or giving it up. And when it comes to God, I would pray that a lot of times. Like, I surrender that to you, God. I give that thing to you. But so many times, it was more like this for me. I would have this object or this concern in my life, and I'd be like, God, I surrender that to you, right? And I'm like, I surrender it. I give it up. I surrender it. And then I'd walk away holding my object, right? Surrender is more like, God, I surrender this thing to you, and I give it to you. I take my hands off of this thing, and I allow you to work in me right now through this. And in my life anyway, when I surrender things, it's a lot lighter load. If I keep carrying this thing around that I'm like, I surrender, and never let it go, it remains to be a heavy thing. Now, it doesn't mean that when I surrender it once that it's all over. I often have to surrender things over and over again. So surrender through prayer. Talk to God. Spend time getting to know God and his word. As you open the pages of this book here that was written 2,000 plus years ago, talk to the author of this book, the one that designed for this whole book to be written, and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to just grow in relationship with you. Could you help me understand these promises that you have written? And as you make these promises known to me, help me to cling to that promise as I go about my daily job at the mill or at McDonald's or wherever it may be, right? This is relevant to today. And finally, stay connected. We need each other. We, especially in times of suffering, if we're alone, that's very heavy. That's very, very heavy. Find someone to talk to. Find someone that you trust to share this with. And in my life, there's something that I do called accountability. And I meet weekly with someone that I trust a lot. And I just share the deepest parts of my soul. And I let them see into my heart. And to be honest with you, at times when my faith is low, when I'm having a hard time rejoicing in God, when I'm having a hard time seeing the end of where this trial is that I'm in, it's that. It's that accountability or that camaraderie that has brought me so much help and so much just enjoyment of Jesus, because I see Jesus in these people, right? They have my back, and that has been huge for me. So I just encourage you, find community, tell someone. And really that fulfills the scripture in Galatians 6:2 that says, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. So in summary, this you should find this on the slide too. It is possible to have joy in the middle of suffering. Our suffering can cause us to have an even deeper hope in Jesus. It is possible to have joy. We see how much Jesus has done for us. We have a beautiful future to look forward to with God. And even here and now, we have access to God 24/7. Constantly, His Holy Spirit is in us to work out, to keep us encouraged, and to keep us going. And my other point, which I just mentioned, is that joy can be maintained in the middle of suffering. How? By surrendering things in prayer, by looking into God's word, getting to know His character more, and through community. So does this mean that suffering is easy? No. Does it mean that I can keep going, that you can keep going in the middle of your suffering? Yes, I believe so. Do you choose Jesus? And once you've chosen Jesus, are you willing to take the steps to have His Holy Spirit at work in you and to just surrender your life and your concern to God, and then find community? Don't give up. Rather, have joy. God is at work. Persevere. Lean on the Holy Spirit and reach out to someone. There's an author, Ellie Holcomb, that writes some music, and she has a song called Red Sea Road, referring to the children of Israel when God parted the Red Sea. And she just says this: how can we trust when you say you will deliver us from all of this pain that threatens to take over us? Well, this desert's dry, and we're scared, but the ocean may consume, and we're scared to follow you. So we'll sing to our souls, we won't bury our hope. Where He leads us to go, there's a Red Sea road. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. When our hearts are breaking, God, you are faithful. You are faithful. Oh, grant us eyes to see. You are faithful. You are faithful. Teach us to sing. You are faithful. You are faithful. At this time, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and I would just love to just close in prayer and just ask for God's blessing in your life if you are suffering. And even if you're not now, I can venture a guess that it will be coming your way, but just to, I just pray that all of us could experience God's presence with us now, and we know that we are not alone. Father, I just thank you for your presence here now with us. I thank you that your presence with us is not limited to listening to a church service, but that your presence is with us continually, day by day. Father, for those of us that have never turned to you, I pray that even now, as we look at the suffering in the world around us, that we would use that as even a reason to call on the God who chooses to be with us in suffering, who gives us a hope beyond this life. And that prayer to God can be simple. Just, Jesus, I need you. I desire you in my life. Father, I want to thank you for everybody that's tuned in. I thank you that you do give us a hope beyond this life. I thank you that you use suffering to build our character. That when you build our character, it increases our hope in Jesus. Jesus, help us to choose you in the middle of suffering. Help us to find joy each day. We love you, Lord. Come and have your way in our lives. I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.